Choice Podcast Awards voting is up on the 31st of July, so go to podcastawards.com to nominate the following shows: Writers and Illustrators of the Future podcast in the categories of education and also storyteller drama, The Centralist in the category of politics and news, that's with show host Joe Montaldo, Science and Beyond in the category of science and medicine, also with show host Joe Montaldo, The Outer Realm in the category of society culture, with show hosts Michelle DeRoche and Amelia Pisano, and The Pittsburgh Paranormal Chasing Prophecy in the category of religion and spirituality. There's another category that opened up for us recently, The People's Choice, so please select for this category as well. Go to podcastawards.com to vote for these five shows and any others you enjoy listening to. That's podcastawards.com. And remember, voting ends July 31st, so
welcome to Chasing Prophecy Radio, where we discuss the unidentified, the unexplainable, paranormal, conspiracies, and much more. Starring your host and co-host, Jenny Nicasio, Sean Kelly, and Jason Sledgehammer Ian Pietro. Brought to you by UPRN Network. Now for your host, Jenny Nicasio!
Good evening and welcome to Chasing Prophecy on FM 105.3 New Orleans, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal, guys. Like us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram. I'm Jenny Nicasio along with Sean Kelly and Jason Iampietro. Happy Thursday, everyone.
Happy Thursday to you.
Great. Well, I'm going to get right to it. We have an interesting guest this evening, one that I find interesting yet very scary. Don't take that personally. I have watched Evil every episode. I don't know why I watch it, because I get really scared. And
I started watching it.
It's very scary, guys. But even what's scarier is The Exorcist. And no matter how many times I watch it, I'm scared, but I'm glued. I'm fascinated with it. And I'm kind of fascinated with this whole idea. So, well,
yeah, the original's the scariest.
Yes, yeah. It is
uncut version. Oh my goodness.
Well,
but you know what, instead of a girl, it was supposed to be a little boy.
They're going to try to remake it, but I think they should just leave it alone. But let's get to the guest, because I'm so excited, because I am getting tangled. I read his book and I found it to be horrifying. And while I texted him, I told him that I had a problem with going to sleep at night. So I'm trying to show you what I'm talking about. Let me get 1, 2, 3. I had it already, but you know how technology is. It's
click and drop.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to show you on the screen, but let's get to it. So we have a real life, an American exorcist on the show, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, PhD, and he's the president of St. Michael's Center for Spiritual Renewal and Research Associate Professor at the Professor at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., a licensed psychologist, and the author of several books. Monsignor Rossetti has participated, which is really scary, in hundreds of exorcisms. During his journey to priesthood, he experienced a spiritual episode in which, in 2 seconds, he learned 80% of what an exorcist needs to know. Welcome to Chasing Prophecy.
Hey, Father.
Welcome. It's nice to be with you all. Thanks for having me.
Well, let me tell you, like I said in the text message, I could not read it at night any longer. Seriously, slept with 2 rosary beads. I'm not kidding you. And I said Jesus 3 times because I was so scared. But before we get into the discussion, I'm just so happy you came on. And I want to know right off the bat, why did you write this book and what kind of reception is it getting?
Well, I'm surprised it's flying off the shelves. People say it's a page turner. I never thought of my ministry as a page turner, but it was one of the Amazon bestsellers. I'm just stunned that it's kind of sweeping the globe. Actually, doing an Irish show in a couple of days. It's amazing, really. I think that people are hungry for the truth about the spiritual world, and that's what I tell. I tell the truth. I don't make these things up. I said I'm just reporting my own diary.
Yes. And I have to say that it was easy to read. Being an author myself, I found it to be very easy to write. And I liked the shorter chapters. I just thought it was really good. But
one thing Sean mentioned, by the way, that movie, The Exorcist, the scary movie you were talking about, it's true. It was based on a real case of a 12-year-old boy, right? And actually, yes. the notes of The Exorcist was a Jesuit who did it. Are available now. You can read his notes, and surprisingly, they're very similar to a lot of the experiences that I've had.
Actually, I just seen, I think it was on Discovery Plus, don't hold me to that, or Netflix or one of those. I was watching it the other night. It was the Exorcism of Roland Doe from the 1949, which the Exorcist movie is based off of his story, the 12 or 13-year little boy. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I started watching that, and I was like, wow, that's some messed up stuff, you know.
Well, you know, the reality is so stunning. You really don't have to, you know, jazz it up. I mean, there's some really wild things happen. I don't know if you can see this, but I just happened to have this picture of this crucifix was burned on one of the possessed people's.
Oh wow! Oh
wow! Yeah, I mean, we talk about that Satan will burn a cross on the possessed person. And basically, the idea is that Satan say, "You belong to me." That's what he often says to people. You belong to me. And then we hold up a crucifix, which you've often seen in exorcism films. We hold the crucifix and say, no, I claim you for Christ, our Savior, by the sign of the cross. So it's a fight for who does this person belong to. And of course, in the end, they belong to Jesus.
Yeah, could you put that cross up again? Because I had your cover on. Yeah. That is
It's a real picture of a cross that was burned on someone's arm, you know. And it's not uncommon. It these sorts of things are not uncommon, and they appear, and then they might last for a few hours, and you think, oh my gosh, a burn like that would take weeks. They'll disappear in hours. It's preternatural.
So how did you get started in this? I mean, was this something you always wanted to do when you grew up?
No. I it's interesting. No, as you mentioned, I'm a licensed psychologist, and so at one point, about 15 years ago. The cardinal called me and said, we've got a case that we want you to look at as a psychologist and do an evaluation. So I did. And I said, you know, the person does not have a psychological problem per se. There's something spiritual going on. You need to call an exorcist. So the diocese contacted three different priests and none of them would do it. And so we were sitting there going, what do we do now? I said, well, give it to me. I said, how hard can it be? I figured, well, you just say the right, the demons leave, you know, and that's kind of dumb. It's a much more difficult, a much more of a fight than a naive young priest would think. But that's how it started.
Jason,
What
do you have to say about that?
You know, I have to ask you this because I've always wondered how exactly do people get possessed by the devil or demons? You know what I mean? Like whether, you know, does it happen to Catholics that are baptized? Is there a specific type of, you know, is it atheists to get, you know, possessed? Like how does this come about? Like did they get it? You know, I've always wondered that.
There's all different ways. Sometimes it's their fault, sometimes it's not. But here's what I say. I've got a three-pronged recipe for getting possessed, which I don't suggest you follow. One is stop practicing the faith. You know, practicing the faith is your primary means of protection. And so when someone comes to us who is possessed, we start, okay, you need to practice the Christian faith. I believe in Jesus, and he will be your shield and protector. Number one, so stop practicing the faith. Number two, start committing serious sins. When you commit serious sins, you create a vulnerability to evil. So the second thing we tell people to do who come to us is stop committing sins. And then third, start practicing the occult. Remember in the movie The Exorcist, that young lad was playing with a Ouija board for months.
Right.
So you start doing a necromancy, a witchcraft, Charlie, tarot cards, all these kind of occult stuff. It's an invitation to Satan, and eventually he'll answer the call.
Wow. John?
Man. Oh, wow. I find that very fascinating. I've been I'm just fascinated with the stuff that Jenny has sent me through Messenger's different apps, you know, different pages. But I want to know, how do people protect themselves from evil? How do they do it? What do you do?
Well, for example, when we do an exorcism, we won't let anybody in the room unless they're right. protected. They're people of faith. They practice their faith. They're living holy lives as best you can. None of us are perfect, you know. Best we can, we pray. And then we say the protection prayers, that sort of thing. For example, this is interesting. Had a possessed person, and she had a very difficult time going into the home of a family that were practicing Christians and that were had their house blessed by a priest. They had holy object in the house. The person just couldn't go into the house because demons hate anything holy. So how do we throw them out? How do we protect ourselves? We have holy things. We use holy water. We have crucifixes. We bless the house, and we people pray.
How many people do you got coming into the room with you when you do an exorcism?
Well, typically I like to have one other priest at least, and then some really rock solid lay people. We probably have two or three of them. So we probably have three or four people in the room with them.
That's awesome. That's cool.
It's scary.
Yeah, it's some scary stuff.
The whole thing is scary. We hear a lot about witchcraft today. I mean, there's so much you see on the, especially around Halloween. And some say there are good witches. And what do you think about that? Are there good witches?
Well, first of all, before I answer that, Jenny, let me say witchcraft is a real thing. Now, right now I've got a man who unfortunately did something bad, and this witch is now tormenting him. And she is really doing crazy stuff. She knows what's going on in their lives. She torments them. We had a last session a couple of days ago. All the car alarms are going off. And she is tormenting them. But where does she get her power? You see, she thinks she has some special power. She gets it from Satan, whether she knows it or not. Now, the question comes is, people say, well, no, I'm a good witch. The problem with that is that you're using magic. Your intention might be to do good, but in reality, you're calling on powers which you have no control over. And if it's not God, I hate to say it, but you have a good chance at coming from the dark side, whether you intend it or not. And so what happens is my fear for a lot of these young people that are practicing witchcraft is they're going to find themselves up to their necks in demons and in trouble.
Well, I have a question. I know this isn't... This is just sort of like, I don't know. Is this witchcraft? Okay. I don't know if you ever heard of the 369. It's all over TikTok. You write down your intentions three times in the morning and you say it out loud, like it's happening. You do it six times in the afternoon and you do it nine times in the evening. Would that be considered witchcraft, or is that just positive thinking? I don't want to bring any demons into my house.
I mean, it's hard to, it's superstition. And is that really calling on God's grace and blessings? And if it's not calling on, which it isn't, of course, what are you getting? I mean, you might be getting either nothing or let me be careful when you start practicing superstitious things. I'll give you an example. This is interesting. This woman comes to me terrified, just completely terrified. And she had been doing some Reiki for a while. And so, which is some questionable things going on there, but whatever. And then she said her beloved grandparent died, which she loved. And so she was right-handed. So she took a pen in her left hand, and then start channeling her dead beloved grandparent. Mm-hmm. And was getting these beautiful letters, automatic writing from this dead, supposed grandparent. Went in there, beautiful letters for about 6 months, and all of a sudden they went south. And then she realized she wasn't talking to our dead grandparent for 6 months. She was connecting with a demon, which she didn't realize it.
Okay, so you like I read in the book that Reiki is something. I've done Reiki, and I had my first Reiki experience. The practitioner that was doing it on me, that all the things started to fall off the walls, and the music that she was using kept on skipping beats. So that would make sense if it's something you shouldn't really dabble in. So I'm glad I got that out of the way. So a lot of people don't believe in Satan and hell and such things. And what do you tell somebody that no matter how you try to have a conversation, oh, I don't believe in hell.
Yeah. No, hey, there are a bunch of Catholic priests who don't believe in hell either. So, you know, a lot of people, oh, yeah, sure there are. Here's what I would say. There's lots of things you learn in exorcism for the last 15 years. And one of the things I've learned is that, you know, what Jesus told us is true from beginning to end. And I learned it. It's not just something I got out of a catechism. I learned it, and you know, face to face. And for example, when you look at the demons in the face, when they're manifesting, and you look at that, what you're looking at is just pure evil. You look at that and you go, whoa. That's one of the ways we discern someone's possessed. There's a look in that person's face that no human being can, no actor can do. It is just pure evil. There's only one place for that. It ain't heaven, it's hell. And what they do with the possessed person is they put them through hell. Every night they're beating them up, they're scratching, they're pounding them, they're abusing them.
That's and so scary.
It's awful. It's just, you can't believe that beings are that evil.
Sean, what do you have to say about this?
I have a lot of things to say, but I know we have a limited time of it.
Yes, we have.
But I do have a lot of respect for you, Monsignor. One day I'd like to sit down and talk to you if we ever get the time. But I do have a question for you.
Sure.
What is Satan and his demons?
Here's what we'd say. A lot of people have this kind of dualistic thing. And Jenny, I can understand why when you read the book, you get frightened. You're like, gosh, I can't go to sleep at night. People ask me how I sleep at night. I sleep very well. And because Satan is not equal to God. There's only one God. God is God. Satan is an angel, a spiritual being. Basically, that's what an angel is. But who rejected God. And we call them demons. They go to hell. They're ugly. And so they have some power over this world, but they're chained. I mean, they're only allowed to do so much. They're allowed to tempt us and sometimes, you know, harass us, but that's it. So they're spiritual beings without bodies. We're spiritual, but we also have bodies. And just like there's good angels, and Satan is an angel that rejected God.
Jason, you have anything?
Yeah, I'm pretty curious. I wanted to see what your thoughts are on this one. As paranormal investigators, do you think that, like, when we make communications with whoever it is or whatever we're trying to help the living with to get rid of, per se, do you think we're dealing with more demons, or is it possible to have, like, the residual, like, family members and stuff that are just seeking help to move on kind of thing?
Yeah. By the way, I was working with someone this morning and praying some deliverance prayers over her. She sent me a photo of this. You know, you couldn't see it, but when you took the photo, it showed up on the picture, and it was basically looked like a human figure with no face. And she said, my daughter took this picture. We all kind of went, whoa, we got freaked. Now, what was that? I would say this. I think most of these beings that we encounter in paranormal stuff probably are demons. Are there ghosts? Most exorcists do believe in ghosts or human beings that haven't kind of been finally settled. So, but my one caution is this: beware of making a good relationship with whoever this ghost is. Mother, you know, some people make friends with this ghost because sometimes they say they're ghosts, but they're really demons. So, be careful.
And Monsignor, okay. We have a comment in the audience. One of the listeners wants to know, do you think that shadow people are demons?
You know, because I when I went to this, I'm a good Italian boy, right, from upstate New York. I mean, what do I know? You know, so I don't do this stuff. I mean, when I grew up, we didn't have these kind of shows. I mean, we just didn't. So I didn't know anything. So one of the first big cases I had, the woman comes in and says, you know, I've been seeing these, what she calls shadows people. She said they have dark coats. They have these hats. I can't see their faces. And they have no legs. And they're kind of floating outside my house. And I said, well, what do I do with that? And so she kept seeing them. And then she started having these unexplained scratches and cuts and bruises. And then she started having what we call occult knowledge. She started knowing things she shouldn't know. And then we found out she was possessed. So what that told me is that a lot of that stuff when people say, I see shadow figures, they're really seeing demons.
Oh, God. Oh, wow. I know we only have 20 minutes with you. I would like to have the whole 54 minutes. But I just want to ask you something that's been tormenting me while I read your book. One of the things is Why does God allow them to torment and tempt us? And why, if God loved us, I know this is probably something you can't answer. If God loved human beings so much, why would he cast Satan and his minions to earth?
Yeah, I get that question all the time. Why does God allow demons to torture us? You know, and although most, he tempts everyone. There are a few people that he physically actually attacks. Not too many, though. Why? Well, it's part of a larger question. Why does God allow people to do bad things to each other? As a matter of fact, your demons are really controlled. They can't maim you. Never seen it. They can't kill you directly. But human beings can. You're much more likely to be beat up and bruised and beaten and shot by a human being than you are by demons. Now, why does God allow that? Boy, that's that mystery of free will and evil. But let me tell you one story that might be interesting. I was interacting with some demons, and I looked at one of them. I said, did you make a bad decision rejecting God? And they said, yes. I said, are you suffering because of it? Yes. I said, would you change your mind if you could? And they said, no.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be a way.
That's the mystery of evil. That's why they're in hell, because they don't want to be in heaven.
Oh, this is crazy. Are you sure we can't have you for a little bit more? It's 21 minutes.
Yeah, this is good.
Can we have one more question before we have to let you go?
Sure. Okay.
Go ahead, Jason, John.
Oh, I just drew a blank.
Oh, okay. John. All right. This is real quick. I don't know. I was studying the Bible and stuff like that. And now tell me if I'm wrong. That Michael, when he was kicked out of heaven, sent down to hell, was he sent down there to keep an eye on Satan, who was already in there?
Well, Michael wasn't kicked out of heaven. I mean,
Lucifer.
Lucifer.
My bad.
Wait, And what was the question? What happened to Lucifer?
Yeah, when he got kicked out of heaven, I heard this on shows, that he got kicked out of heaven to keep an eye on Satan so he really doesn't run amok. Is that true? Is there any truth to that?
Well, most people believe that Lucifer and Satan are actually the same being, that Lucifer was his name in heaven, and then he became Satan or the devil. I mean, there's some people disagree with that, but that's what I think. And I actually asked all the demons that. And basically, the old thing was, I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. He wants to be God. He wants people to worship him. That's what he tried to get Jesus to do. He said, if you fall down and worship me, and I'll give you the world. And Jesus said, no, I can do it. So Satan doesn't want to be with God. He wants to rule in hell, and that's what he's doing.
Okay. Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you very much.
Listen, bless you all. And just remember, Jenny, you know, you get nervous, get frightened, just trust in Jesus. He'll take care of you.
Oh, that's what I've been doing. I'm trusting him 100%. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. You have a wonderful evening.
God bless you all.
Bye-bye. God bless you too.
Thank you.
Woo.
Wow. Oh, my.
Well, to answer Julie's question, Judy, I'm not sure how you pronounce that. I read the book, and to answer that, yes. Tarot cards, you're opening yourself up. Anything that tarot cards, witchcraft, Ouija boards, seance, talking to mediums, all this opens up, you know, that door. Like, something has to open. I mean, the door has to be opened by something. Unintentionally, you could have went to an antique store and purchased, you could have purchased rosary beads. No, I wouldn't say that. If you pitch crystals, antiques, anything, or who knows? It could be, I don't think rosary beads, but if they weren't really rosary beads, like they could have been disguised as something else, maybe. You never know.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, it could be disguised.
That is true. So, but, you know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, a commenter, Cyber Demon, said, you know, don't astral project. You know, it's funny because I was just reading a story on some forums the other day when I was researching some stuff. And there was one particular person that was talking about how they astral projected, but when they came back, they brought something with them.
Yeah.
That's been haunting them for the better part of a decade. It's just like never ending, you know, and they can't get rid of it, you know, because I guess they got lost when they were astral projecting. Because at that point, your body's just like an open vessel.
You should definitely contact a priest.
When you astral plane, you usually have a cord tied to your body when you go out into
the silver cord.
A fake imaginary cord? Is this a real silver cord?
They call it the silver cord, but it's actually invisible. But what happens when you astral project is you're actually leaving your body, so that's when it's possible for other things could possibly take over your body because it's just an empty vessel. Right. So that's why you got to be very, very cautious if you're into practicing that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know some people that actually did that, and you definitely should not.
I mean, I've astral planed many, many times, and I've come back, and nothing came back with me.
Right.
You know, and, you know, when he brought up the witches.
You're lucky, Sean. You're lucky that nothing came back with you.
Well, see, Jen, when it comes down, because I've been in the business for over 30 years, and I go to houses and I clear houses out. And yes, there are times that I do and I deal with demons. But what helps me the most is that I have faith in God.
You have to. I have faith in my guardian angels.
You know, I know
when we talk about this stuff, I have this sitting right next to me because.
Right. But, you know, it's not like I sit down and say three Hail Marys, Our Fathers, and Glory
Be.
I just go in and do what I got to do, but I know that I am protected. You know, I'm going to bring up the witches part, okay? I know a lot of witches that are good witches, okay? And if they would have heard him say that, I was going to get an earful from them. You know what I mean? Because they are good, all right? It's not so much that, you know, to me... They're into like the paganism, which only
paganism is not.
But what I'm saying, that's what, you know, if you look at the general rule of witches, they believe in goddesses, you know, they believe in the earth.
Well, that's
know?
False gods, Sean.
You got to.
But that's,
they're not. If you believe in heaven and hell then, and angels
but,
in heaven,
but
that's
to them, some of them have a problem with dealing with God. You know, they have a problem. They do not feel comfortable. And I do not feel comfortable going into the church, Jen. Okay. I had bad experiences and I was all the way in the masses. I went to Catholic church for school for 12 years and I did not like it because they teach something different, you know.
But on his side of the story, though, okay, so we got two sides. There's two sides to every story. I think that's what we're debating right now. Okay. So we got. You know, Sean, you're talking about, you know, there's witches, you know, yes, they're good people. I understand that, you know, they're into, you know, their witchcraft and stuff. And that's great. You know, that's to each their own. But if you look at what the Exorcist is saying is, you know, we're just people. So we really don't know what we're dabbling into on the other side. Mm-hmm. But in the majority of the cases, to get certain power is coming from something from the dark side because they're more willing to give it to you. So that way you're like, I'm doing good. Cause what is Satan going to do? He's going to be that nice little rose petal, you know, and he's going to be real nice to lure you in. And then when you least expect it,
exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to be attractive.
So that's what I see.
Right.
That's the two sides of the story. I see, you know, you got the good people there, which is, you know, believe they're doing good, whatever. But then on his side, from the religious standpoint, you know, they're getting their power and everything that they're getting from, it would be none other than more than likely the dark side.
I can understand where the Monsignor's coming. Trust me, I have a lot of respect for that man. Okay. I really do. It's not like I'm not like debating him or nothing like that, but I know in my own personal life, what I have dealt with. And when I go out and clear houses and I do fight demons, then I really do. Jason will tell you.
I've seen you get your boxing gloves on. You're like,
yeah. And it's like, honest to God, Jen, you know, it's something different and for me. And I know that I'm safe. And I know that some of my witchy friends, okay, they're good people, you know. So to come out and say that people want the witches I know don't grasp for power. They don't, you know what I mean? They just enjoy what.
Well,
you're
talking more like a Wiccan than a real witch. They suck the blood of babies.
But you got to see it from his standpoint. You know, he's a very religious. You know, Monsignor, he's very religious. He's an exorcist,
right?
So he's on that side of the spectrum.
And you can't debate it. But I'm just pointing out what.
Right.
What
you're not talking about sadist witches that believe in Satan is giving them power, beauty, wealth. You're talking about a wicked who believe the nature and the trees, and they worship the stars and the moon.
They're not worshiping the devil
and having sacrifices every Sunday at high tide. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Now, they're Wiccans, and they'll say that's their religion, but they will come out and say, I'm a witch. And I'm cool with that. As you know, here's the way I look at it. Oh wow. Wow. No, honestly. No. What I have been dealing with, you know, in our motto, okay, in PPS is that I will respect what y'all believe if it makes you happy. If it gets you closer and getting into something good, and then if you respect what we believe in, then I will respect what you believe in. But that's do not true. Push your stuff on me.
Yeah. Right, right. That's the best way to go. You know, it's
yeah.
You know that's why, like, you know, parties or whatever. It's like no religion talk, no politics, because you know you respect. You know, I respect what you believe.
Well,
you respect what I believe.
Be honest with you, this talk that we're having, this show isn't about religion. It's about being an exorcist and fighting the devil's minions. Mm-hmm. It's not about Catholic or Wiccan or Judaism or Muslim.
But the exorcist plays parts in all that, if you look at it as a whole.
Good and evil.
Yeah.
And it's just not opening yourself up to doors like astral projection, doing... witchcraft. Now, witchcraft can be like cutting up a child, cutting up an animal, putting them on an altar, drinking the blood of a virgin. I don't know. But that's to me is that's evil. I mean, if you're talking about Wiccan and, let's go, I'll do a love spell for you tonight. You know, take a little bit of, you know, ginger and mix it with some garlic. I did that. I did all that.
I think with the problem with a lot of possessions, I think this is just my own opinion. You know, as he was saying, you know, people lose their faith, you know, they start just doing all kinds of bad sins and stuff like that. But, you know, the people that's, I guess, more so like beginners will dabble into stuff that they're not ready for or not trained for. Mm-hmm. So now they are more susceptible as people that I think, you know, so demons see that as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get a chance to ask him, but I wanted to ask him something about that line. You know, is it the people that, you know, are experimenting with, you know, the Ouija boards and
that opens the door to something that we don't know.
It opens the door, but I think the new people, you know, the beginners, I think they're a lot more susceptible, and they're the ones that are probably
because they're naive. They don't realize what they're doing. They don't have any idea the power.
Exactly, and then you know, it's crazy. You get your first tarot deck, right? A lot of the people who just start reading or do their very first reading, there's definitions of each card in the back of the book with, you know, the definition of the card. And they're more concerned about what the meaning of the card is. But once that card is flipped over, you know, like you said, Jen, everything opens up.
I have a problem. I've been doing, oh my God, the last 15, 20, I started with tarot cards. I quit doing that because that was really bad. And then I started doing angel cards, and I'm thinking, well, I had this conversation with someone. I said, angel cards, how can they be bad if they're angel cards? And then when I read the book, he discusses that angels are demons. Demons are angels that fell. No matter what, they are still angels. And he mentions that God loves he still loves those angels that turn to demon. He still loves them,
right?
But they're still angels. So if you open an angel card up, and you think about it, well, how do I know if I'm not really talking to one of the angels that fell that are now demons? Because they are still angels, just like Lucifer. Lucifer is still an angel.
Right.
He's still an archangel too. He was one of the archangels, the most beloved one from God. He loved them. But he's still an angel, and that's what scares me, and that I don't want to do angel card no more, you know, because I have two decks sitting on my desk over there, you know, it's like, oh my God, I'm opening the door to, after I read that book, seriously, it really makes you think. And I think I totally think everybody should read it. If you have any kind of, especially if you do weird things like astro project and you know what I mean? And you decide to go into a different realm. I definitely think you should read the book. I mean, I'm not, you know, I love scary movies. I like, you know, like I said, I'm a fascinated. Some people are attracted to that. I'm one of them. I'm attracted to the scary stuff.
Make sure you watch the Exorcism of Roland Doe. It's on, like I said, I think it's on Netflix or Discovery, one of those streaming sites. It's called The Exorcist or Exorcism of Roland Doe. That was in 1949. The kid was 12 or 13 years old, and that's what the actual movie, The Exorcist, yes, came out in the 70s, was based off of.
What was it called again? I'm going to write. Why,
The Exorcism of Roland Doe. Yeah, I was just watching it, I think, like
Roland
2 nights
Doe.
Ago.
Roland Doe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to text me that one.
I tell you what, I started watching 5 minutes in, like I was hooked, and just seeing the story about this kid. Basically, what happened with him was he ended up getting possessed, and I think they did over a month worth of exorcisms every single day. And that, I think, I don't remember if they said he started writing stuff out, like they gave him a pencil or something, and what came out was, "I am the devil himself,"
you know,
whatever possessed him, you know. So they were fighting hard to get rid of this thing, you know. I'm not gonna spoil the whole show. You got to watch it. But like, I was hooked in. I was like, holy smokes. And then, you know, it's like, wow, this is what actually the movie was based off of, from the 70s, was based off this 1949. You know, I was like, wow, it was something else.
Well, you know? I know a woman close to me that used to use the Ouija board, and it was right after her father had died, and she would do it all the time. I mean, she was always doing the Ouija board, never thought anything of it. To one night, she's by herself and she's doing the Ouija board. And she asked, her father had just passed away. And she said, "Can you tell me where my father is? Can you tell me where my father is?" Because she wanted to find out, you know, where he went. Is he okay? So she did the thing, but, you know, you hold the little indicator thing and you let it go. And it spelled out, "With a good friend of mine." And she goes, "Oh, who is your good friend?" And it said, spelled out, "Lucifer."
Ooh. Oh, wow. Wow. Yes.
It probably wasn't her dad.
So after she got that, she got the board, broke it in half, but she threw it in the garbage. So
you can't do that.
I know.
You can't
do that. You're
supposed
to bury it in front of a tree, I heard.
Yeah, so, an old oak tree. And I'll tell you a story real quick about a girl in our group, Sue. She was in our group, and we were over at Haas during the investigation, and she brought out this very, very old Ouija board. And so I said, "Bury it in your backyard underneath that big ass oak tree you have in the back." And she did. And what was crazy about it, that there was a big tree and it had a lot of leaves on it. Well, come fall time, all the leaves fell off the tree, but where she digged that hole, not one leaf fell on that square thing where she dug. That, and it snowed one time, and there was snow all around that box or the hole that she dug. There was not one thing of snow on that square box that they dug. So, yeah, I mean, they're bad. Well, a lot of the places we go to, Jason, huh? How many times? The first question out of our mouths is, "Did you play with the Ouija board?"
As soon as you hear yes, we're like, "Oh no!"
Yeah, seriously.
But those aren't hauntings; those are demonic possessions. So, what do you do? I mean,
the Ouija board isn't. I wouldn't say it's actually you become possessed, right? You know, from it. Basically, all you're doing is opening a door. You know, right. So something could potentially come through.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe, you know, but we don't know what or exactly it is, but I don't think, you know, that makes the person directly in like a possession.
And Monsignor Rossetti said that 70% of hauntings are demonic, and anything that hurts you, a haunting of a loved one that's passed does not hurt you.
Right.
They will not hurt you. God will not let them hurt you. The only ones that can hurt you are the demonic, you know, demons.
Right. So, still takes a lot.
Yeah, so yeah, if you're ever in a haunting and they hurt you, they knock you over, they burn you. If you wake up, if the person in the house is getting burns on their bodies, especially an upside down cross or a cross that's burnt on their body, that is no ghost. That is a demon, buddy.
Yeah. Well, of course. Well, yeah. But you know what? Whenever we go to a house that I know or that might have demon activity, I do not let my people in that house.
Well, good. I'm glad.
I mean, it's just that I won't let that, because my number one thing for me is the safety of Jason and my group. And if it's bad, I will not let them in. And now,
yeah, speaking about the Ouija board, take you. I'm still young.
Oh, why not? Why not? But I remember one thing that we did, one investigation we did, and the girl was like brutally on the verge of being possessed. And the first thing out of my mouth was, did you play with the Ouija board? And she said, yeah, but that she said that was over 30 years ago.
Doesn't matter.
And that's
one
right.
Time is all it takes.
That was it. And I said, that's what probably, you know, it just sat back and waited for the opportunity time to come in and start giving you help. Because out there in their world, there is no time. Mm-hmm. There is right. No time.
Yeah, there is.
So
it probably waited.
That
way, yeah, probably waited until later in life, just, you know, probably busy with work, kind of stressed out, you know, just tired, you know.
Yeah,
that's the prime opportunity where they're just like, oh, my turn.
Exactly.
They just,
yep.
You know,
what I found really interesting in what he said is that a demon, he God asked them, what if God said you could be converted? And they mm-hmm. would not. They said no, they don't want to be converted. And they couldn't. He said they can't be converted. You know, even if they wanted, they don't like being a daemon, but they wouldn't change it. And that's what kind of freaked me out.
Though. You know what? If you think about it, okay, do you think that they wouldn't want to get converted because as being on the dark side, they're free reign to do whatever they want, attack whoever they want, just do
right there, brother.
Just pure evil if they want to.
They're not allowed to kill, though. God won't let God won't let them kill you, but they'll torment you. And they don't like hell for the fact that the other demons, they pick on each other.
Here's my theory about hell. We're living in hell. I know when I die, I'm going to a better place. I know that's the way I think.
I'm not sure if this is, I think this is, it could be purgatory if you believe in that.
And another thing about purgatory, I had a priest in my group when I first started, and I asked him about purgatory, and he said it don't exist. The reason why everyone who went to Catholic school or CCD was taught about purgatory was that the Catholic religion was trying to push into saying, well, if you commit a sin, you're going to go into purgatory. And when I talked to this priest, and I was taught the same thing until that priest was in my group. And he just simply said straight up, there is no purgatory.
Well, you have to be careful. Well, Cyber Demon said we are in purgatory. You have to be careful what some priests are, because according to Taylor Marshall, he was an Episcopal priest. And he mm-hmm. says that the Catholic Church was infiltrated. I have his book too. By the devil. So you have to be careful, because some of these priests aren't really who they say they are. They're working for the other team. So, and we know that from all the scandals.
Look at all that shit going on.
What, 400 some priests are involved with, you know, a couple
pedophile.
Years ago. Like
so,
that. Yeah.
Well, you
here
think
in
of it,
Pittsburgh.
Was it 300?
It was like four something, I think.
If you believe in Christ, Jesus Christ, what mm-hmm. is the most horrible thing you could do to him? If you were the devil, what could you do that would be so horrible and insulting to him and humiliating? Is to take one of your own, a priest who works for the God's house, you know, and to mm-hmm. convert them into some psycho perverted pedophile. And that's exactly what happened. The devil infiltrated the Catholic Church, and I believe it's still there. Some people think that the Pope is not who he says he is. So you have
to. They want to get rid of Latin Mass, and that was like the number one Mass.
Oh my God!
For years,
I know.
Years.
And what does the devil hate more than anything?
Latin.
He hates Latin, especially prayers in Latin. He hates it.
Then why is
you
want to
get mad at a demon, say some Latin.
John. Why are they always speaking Latin then, if they hate it so much?
Demons? What?
I don't know.
Yeah, why don't they speak in Latin? Here's my thing. You know, anytime you hear like a lot of recordings and stuff, a lot of it's in different language, mostly Latin. Why aren't they just
Well, because that's why they're doing it, because you know for sure it's a demon. Because if Joe down the street guy says, "Oh, I'm possessed," well, how do you know for sure he's possessed? Because the only way you'll be able to tell is if he knows things that no one else knows. Is he says languages that there's no way he could have learned them overnight. So you know that's definitely a demon.
And another thing is, if you smell that sulfur smell, that is true.
I believe you pour bleach down your drains if you have that happen.
There was some houses that I went. This was before you started, Jason. Went to some houses, but the sulfur was so nasty, it was sick. You couldn't stay in the room. That stinky. This is a good show. I'm enjoying this.
Well, I'm glad you are, because we don't have too much time left.
I see that.
But since we only have a few little bit time left, I want to tell, there's two things I want to say. One, my little paranormal tree, Rocky the Rockefeller Christmas tree, he's magical. Okay, he's always possessed by demons. No. It's going to be free starting tomorrow for 5 days. I just want to throw that out to you. It's about a little Christmas tree that thinks he's the big, or he's going to be the big Rockefeller tree. And we have some fantastic news. So I want to start talking and plugging. Jay's, Sean, go ahead and you tell. Do you like this?
Oh, okay. Okay. Here's the big news. So with all you wonderful viewers out there watching our show, we average the listeners, viewers, if they're watching on whatever.
Come on, spill the beans. Thank you.
Come on, dude. Let me talk.
Hurry up. It'll be next week by the time you're done.
All right. We are moving to a new day, which would be Tuesday, and we got prime time. So our new day is Tuesday, and our show will be on 9 to 11. And that Eastern. Would be 8 to 10 Central. 9 to 11 Eastern. August 10th.
Same goofy people.
You love us. Same topic. We want you to come and listen to us. Seriously. I mean, our show rocks. All right. We might be crazy and, you know, a little loony, but you know what? We have
Three
good
Stooges
guests.
Now on Tuesdays.
Yeah. Three Stooges. We should make that. Three Stooges now on Tuesdays. Here. Yes. Yeah, so that's some great news. So we're going to try to do the same format, maybe just for the first hour, have our guests. If we're deep in conversation, we'll just keep going. And if we're not, we'll just get them out of there. And we'll just do like what we're doing now. We'll just have some topics.
Don't forget, tell them about our getting sponsorship for the show.
Yes, we're going to be sponsored by Carnation. And we are up for a People's Choice Award. So people, please vote for us. There's a link on all our Facebook pages and the UFO Paranormal page. There's a link, I believe. You just go to the People's Choice Podcast Awards and you can, there's two categories. Isn't there, Jason? There's overall.
Yeah. It's like overall.
Overall and religion for us.
We're under religion, spirituality, because there isn't one for paranormal. So,
to find us under the spiritual and religion section.
Yeah, that's where we're at. So, I wish they would have a, I don't even think the SoundCloud has a category for paranormal. I never saw it. So, in Spotify, I believe it's just religion and spirituality. But getting back to exorcisms in our last few, 6 minutes, Sean?
I always had
a problem telling time when I was in kid, and I used to be made fun of because I didn't know how to tell time. Because with my dyslexia. So, but I did do, I did the moon thing too. I still had the moon rituals. And that's apparently not, I don't know if you're allowed to, I don't think, it's not like
does it work for you? Does it work for you?
Well, in my head, it did. I still love the moon. I mean, but I used to do like new moon rituals where I'd sit out with my crystals and I would sit with my big, beautiful crystal like we showed last week. I do believe I have tons of these. And apparently you're not supposed to, because it could conjure up something, I guess. I don't know. According to Monsignor. But... I know. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I'm not going to give up everything that makes me feel.
That's just like you. That's like just like you. If you, you want to get a flu shot or a COVID vaccine.
But I don't want you to do what makes you happy. I don't want you to quit what's making you happy.
Oh no!
And I know the I know the charging of the crystal.
No, it does make me happy, but I don't want to do anything that's going to offend the Almighty. And that's
I saw this thing about crystals where how to tell fakes from real ones is to set them on an ice cube, and real crystals, generate heat or transfer heat, so they'll actually melt into the ice cube, and the fakes will just sit on top.
What do? You put the crystal up against the
If you're curious if your crystal's real or if it's fake, you set it on top of like an ice cube or an ice block. And if it melts in, rather quickly, then it's real. If it just kind of festers and sits on top,
I'll have to try that because I have tons of them.
They're supposed to transfer all that energy, all that heat.
I can't wear them. They break on me. And this one broke in half. I don't know if you can see the fracture line. Can you see that? No, there's a fracture line. Broke right in half.
So here's a question. Maybe take a little pull here. What do we think is more dangerous? A Ouija board, tarot cards, mediums? What do we think is for me, I would say the Ouija board.
Ouija board.
It's probably the easiest. Some 8-year-old can go grab some chicken nuggets at McDonald's and a Ouija board at Walmart and summon demons and then blow out the toilet later. You know what I mean? So
right. The Ouija board's the big one.
Definitely the Ouija board. I'm afraid of the Ouija board. I found a Ouija board. We were having some really weird occurrences in the Ouija board. I found out I was cleaning my closet and the Ouija board was still in there.
I remember you telling us about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're like, no wonder stuff's happening in your room there.
No, but I want to tell some really weird thing that happened real quick before we have to leave. When I was reading the book and then it got real quiet. And all of a sudden I hear these like thoughts in my head and I go, are these my thoughts? Because they're really mean. I was like, what the heck? Get me out of here. This is terrible.
Kill Sean.
Burn. No, I don't know. I do. I love watching scary movies. What are you doing? Taking a bath?
I'm sweating like crazy, man. I'm sweating.
Maybe you should go get your blood pressure checked.
Yeah.
Nah. It's like 90 degrees in my attic, and I got shirt.
Oh, you got that tie choking you out. Your clip-on tie is choking you.
it's so comfortable. Still. Look, I can breathe.
You can summon demons just by invitation. You don't. Oh God! You know what, Amelia? I would not be summoning no demons anywhere.
But here's the crazy thing, real quick before we go. I do believe that there's a book out there that there's like 2,500 different demons out there. Okay. My question is, and then we'll let it go. Maybe pick it up next week or on the 10th. What demon do you know what you're dealing with? Seriously, I mean,
they always ask their name. The very first thing they do is say, "What is your name?" And the one is in the Bible was named Legion. The one that possessed. I don't know if it was there was a man there. I forget his name that was possessed, and Jesus said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." Now, what I want to know: what did he mean, a legion of demons, or was that his name, Legion?
I would think a legion of a lot of demons.
Well, I think there's a lot of demons walking on this earth, and we're going to be closing out. I do think that we're in a particular time of evilness out there, and you guys have to be more careful than ever not to open those doors to the demonic. And careful.
I think if people summon demons and get possessed, they should just go to Taco Bell because then they'll definitely, they'll be exporting demons later.
I think you two are going to be doing the shows on Tuesday night.
They'll be expelled.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for the almighty Commander in Chief Joe. Where is he at? Okay. Thank you for this. What is he talking about, Joe? What are you talking? I don't understand. So I think we're going to be saying goodbye because it is that time, right, Joe? So I want to say thank you for tuning in tonight. I want to thank Monsignor Rossetti again. Get his book. You will not be disappointed. It's scary as hell. All right. Thanks again for tuning in to Chasing Prophecy. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.